everybody. How's it going? This is the Callin' It NFL Roundup for Week 2. I'm Alex Barth. We're joined by Alex Lebowitz. Heck of a week in Week 2. We're going to get right through, fire through all these games, give you our thoughts. And, you know, Week 2, again, I don't know if it's necessarily that we had the lack of football all summer, but I'm still locked in. I'm loving what I'm seeing, Lebowitz.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's not amazing. Obviously, there's a lot going wrong with each team. You're still kind of getting the kinks out. But still, it's exciting. It's football. It's fun to watch. There's a lot of teams that there's some question marks with. There's a lot of teams that seem like they've taken a step back. And there's a lot of teams that are kind of being exposed, so to speak. So I think that it's been a it's been a great couple of weeks. Any football is good football, in my opinion. And today I was locked in just like I have been.
So since we are doing this live on YouTube, if you're catching it right now before we post it to the website, if you have any questions or comments, you can put them in that chat on the right of the screen. We're more than happy to talk about them. Also, you can tweet them at us at Callin' It Podcast on Twitter. That's all one word, no underscores or anything. We normally do this at the end of the 4 o'clock games. Screw the lightning delay in Denver. We're not waiting for the Broncos and the Cowboys. We'll actually get to that game at the end. We'll give you our thoughts on that. But let's start with the 1 o'clock games. First off, in AFC North battle, the Ravens and the Browns. The Ravens may have had the easiest start to the schedule of anybody in the NFL. They had the Bengals last week. They shut them out 24-10 against the Browns this week. I'm still not buying in on the Ravens. I think they're one of the weaker, if not the weakest, 2-0 team left just because they really haven't played anybody. I'm not sold on Flacco. And they've struggled at times in these two games against weaker opponents.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I don't look at the Ravens as a team that I'm really fearing at all. Who they play the Bengals week one, and then they go on and play the Browns. I want to see them beat a real opponent like the Steelers before I'm going to buy into this team. Their defense is looking pretty good, but today they played the Cleveland Browns who put out a quarterback, DeShone Kizer, who not only had three picks, I think today he got pulled, but he had migraines before the game. I don't know if they should have even stuck him out there in the first place, given the fact that he's a rookie quarterback who's dealing with migraines. I don't know. I'm not buying into this Ravens team quite yet. I want to see them beat a real opponent first.
That's some classic Browns right there, the quarterback with migraines. From the AFC North to the AFC East, the Bills and the Panthers, 9-3. Carolina takes this one. Some Bills fans are in the mindset of Jets fans now. Just throw the season away. And the Panthers are a 2-0. But again, they beat the Niners and the Bills. Really not much to take away from this one because these are two teams that are bad to begin with and weren't playing their best ball.
Yeah, I mean, give the Bills credit. Their pass rush looked really good today. But Cam Newton's he's kind of done, right? Like, he's not the Cam Newton of old. He's not an elite quarterback anymore. At least last season he wasn't. And this year he's had a rough start. So I just think these are two lousy opponents who played in a low-scoring game. I'm not high on either of these teams, but I'll give credit to that Bills front seven. Their pass rush looked good. So they pressured Newton, but I still don't look at this team as either team as a serious contender.
You talk about Cam Newton not being his old self. The Panthers said in the offseason they were going to make a point of having him run the ball less, throw it away, or get out of the pocket more to take less hits, and it's clearly affecting his play.
Yeah, absolutely. And given the fact that Greg Olsen just went out with a broken foot, he'll be out for some time. That's one less target he has.
That's his best target, though.
His number one, absolutely, his number one target. So he's going to have to go through the rest of the season without that number one target, probably. Maybe he comes back before the end of the season. But still, he doesn't have any targets. It's a lousy team, and he's kind of beat up from the years of abuse he's taken in this league.
Who would have thought a broken foot would stop three-leg Greg? Doesn't he have another one? Yeah. This one got a little interesting. Some bad teams. My pick for the worst team in the NFL, if you'll remember, I said it on the show a couple weeks ago, the Cardinals and the Colts. The Cardinals taking an overtime after Jacoby Brissett throws an interception, backed up against his own goal line on the first, I think it was the first play. It was the first possession of overtime for sure. I actually thought Jacoby was impressive up until that point. He did better than I thought. But ultimately, you can't be throwing interceptions like that.
No, and he's fine. I think he's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. He's never going to be a top-tier quarterback, though. And I know it's only his second season, but he looked fine. He's all right for a guy who's only in his second season in the league. He looked pretty good. It's still the Colts. Their offensive line still stinks. I think more importantly, though, we see that the Cardinals are not where they need to be, and they haven't been And I think that window's also closed. You see a lot of teams, their windows are closing in this league.
I think that one's closed. I mean, if you're still thinking it's open, you're going to get your fingers jammed when they shut it. Palmer's, what, almost 40? Fitzgerald's up there as well. I think there's a big rebuild coming down in the desert. People were high on the Jaguars last week after they shellacked the Texans. Well, they got put in their place by division rival Tennessee, 37-16. Last week, it was DeMarco Murray. This week, Derrick Henry, the former Alabama running back, has the big game. I got them backwards in fantasy. I have both. And I started Henry last week. I started Murray this week. So I clearly can't figure out. But the Titans have. And I think that running back duo is going under the radar. It's something I'm going to be watching closely in these next couple weeks, see how they manage that. Because if they are going to win the division and be a player in the playoffs, be an impactful team in the playoffs like some people think, it's going to be, I think, more so with Henry and Murray than it is with Marcus Mariota, who did not have a good game today.
Yeah, I still think you give him a chance. I don't know. With the Jaguars, they're obviously not as good as they indicated last week against the Texans. Titans, a much better team. I'm not going to close the window on a guy like Mariota. I think he's still a very good quarterback. And I still think that this Titans team is probably coming out of that division. Originally, I had the Texans, but they're pretty impressive. And I don't know. I think this kind of put the Jaguars back in the place where they should be. This isn't a team that could have made the playoffs. I don't know. 37-16. That's a good win. I take that. A lot of room for improvement at that quarterback position, but still, I like the Titans.
Once again, this is the NFL Roundup from the Calling It podcast. If you have any questions or comments, you think we're saying something wrong, throw it in that chat over there on the right of your screen. We're more than happy to touch on it. You can also tweet at us at Calling It podcast. Lebowitz, these may have been the two most hyped teams last week, the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Eagles had the last second win against the Redskins, and we all know what the Chiefs did. Chiefs take this one 27-20, but a close game, a lot of fireworks in the fourth. I think they may not be two of the best teams in the league, but it's starting to look like they're going to be two of the most exciting teams in the league, those cardiac teams that they're always hanging around in the fourth quarter. They're always playing exciting football.
Yeah, I think this shows us that they're true contenders. And one thing I'm looking for is for the Chiefs to play that Raiders team, see how they stack up against them. That's going to be an awesome matchup. And the Eagles, they're taking a step up. They have their quarterback in Carson Wentz, who's calm. You know, he's really good in the pocket. I love watching him play.
What did Tony Romo say like 10 times? It was a quiet feat, right?
Yeah. It's the pocket presence. It's what it's all about. And except he can actually move on his feet a little bit better than Brady. He doesn't have the presence, but still, he's a guy who's kind of proven himself in this league, and he played well against a really good defense on top of that. Obviously an Eric Berry-less defense, but still, he had to go up against a really good pass rush, and he passed the test today. It was a loss, but still two good teams that we'll see in the playoffs later on.
I mean, I think this is going to be a question every week. We talked about it last week with Matt McCarthy, and I think it's going to be a question throughout the season, not just for us, but for everybody. Are you in on Wentz right now?
I am. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he'll turn into a very good quarterback. It's just when he's – I like to judge quarterbacks based on how they do against adversity, how they do against the pass rush, how they do at the end of games. He's passed those tests for me. So if you have a young quarterback who's doing well in all those categories, I'm going to be high on him. And Carson Wentz is definitely one of those guys.
The five running backs on the Eagles roster, they chose to keep five running backs coming out of the preseason on the 53. Today, they ran it, I think it was only 11 times, and they passed it over 50. That's really a statement on how much they trust their young quarterback. In the Steel City, Pittsburgh and the Vikings, I was looking forward to this one after last week. I think we learned today the Saints aren't the team we all thought they were. More on that in a minute. Steelers 26-9. I think we're ramping up, what is it, week 13, Steelers-Patriots. We're ramping up for that to be one of the great games of the year, having watched this. The Steelers took care of a Vikings team that, even without Sam Bradford, looked pretty good.
Yeah, and one thing that also happened is Le'Veon Bell was not Le'Veon Bell again. Second straight week, he did not really play to the standards that we're used to seeing him playing. Will that continue? I don't know. I think he had something like 87 yards on 27 carries. Not quite what you want to see. He wasn't that effective in the pass game. But still, Big Ben got it done against a pretty good Vikings team without their starting quarterback, but the Steelers are always going to bring it. They have it. They always will, at least as long as they have Ben Roethlisberger. And that's definitely going to be someone to look out for, that team. Still, I don't know if I put them in my top three of AFC teams. But it's good win nonetheless.
The other thing I was left wondering about this game, where was Teddy Bridgewater? Supposedly he's good to go and they didn't play him. He had that horrible knee injury. He seemed to be ramping up though before that to becoming one of the top quarterbacks in this league, and we don't see him here today.
Yeah, I think isn't he out till week six? Is he on the PUP list? I don't know.
He might be. I meant to look it up and things. I kind of got caught up before the Patriots game started.
His knee injury was horrible. So they're gonna. I mean, why not keep him out as long as they can? If Bradford's out for 1 or 2 weeks, so be it. You can put him back in there. It's not the end of their season, and you don't want to bring a quarterback like that who's young back too soon. So keep Bridgewater out as long as you need to.
So I missed this, and this is on me. He had a follow-up surgery a couple weeks ago. He's expected out until at least week eight. Buccaneers and the Bears. I was interested in the Bears last week. Matt McCarthy put me on their bandwagon. I wouldn't go that far. I certainly wouldn't go that far anymore. 29-7 Tampa. Now, I hear some people saying this game showed the league that Tampa's a Super Bowl contender. I wouldn't go that far either. This Bears team, what I was impressed with last week was the offense. The defense stinks.
Oh, yeah. The defense is brutal. Mike Glennon is what was impressive from that Bears team. Today, I think he had 2 interceptions, but they're not good. I mean, they're not going to be a playoff contender. They'll be sub 500 easily. The Bucs are a good team. I'm still not 100% sold on them. I think Jameis has such a high ceiling. He needs to stop making so many mistakes. The one thing you do get out of this game is Mike Evans is the truth. There's a great wide receiving core there with him and DeSean Jackson. So it's a fun team to watch. It's going to be between them and, as we said earlier, the Titans in that division. That's what it's looking like.
Wrong South.
That's my bad. But no, they'll win that division, at least over the Saints, as we saw from the day and the Panthers. Great team. The Bears stink. I'm not reading too much into this game. I think it went as you probably expect, although Glenn and I probably expect a little bit more out of.
The Patriots will be facing up against those impressive Tampa receivers in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, today they took care of the Saints. More on this game tomorrow. We're still working on getting the guests. It's going to be somebody good. I'll tell you that. Make sure you check out the show tomorrow. But just quick thoughts from this one. Patriots 36, Saints 20. They got a couple garbage points, a touchdown in the fourth quarter when the game was already over. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save my Patriots takes for tomorrow. This was the first time I really got to watch Tony Romo. I didn't get to see him last week. He is an amazing color analyst.
He is.
He was spot on with everything he was getting. He was in depth, yet he was simplifying it. He was the anti-Chris Collinsworth. I loved listening to him. I may watch games this year just to see Tony Romo. I don't think I've ever said that about a color analyst before.
Yeah, I've never seen someone in a booth for any sport do as well as Tony Romo did today off the bat. He was unbelievable. He was great. I think a lot of people are trying to be, you know, contrarians, like, oh, he's fine. It's just in comparison to Phil Simms, he's great. No, he's good. For a guy in week two of
his
career,
he's beyond good. He's, yeah.
Like, he might be – I think he's already solidifying himself as the best color commentator just based off his analysis, how he's able to predict what teams are going to do and just break down plays. You said it. He doesn't overcomplicate things. He simplifies it. And he just has a knack for being on air, which you don't see that often. It's just straight up talent.
The predictions are scary too. He keeps getting everything right. Jim Nance needs to calm down a little bit with the Tony Romo love. And I think some of the reason people are so critical of him is that, and the fact I hated Tony Romo, the player. I did, but I'm loving him as a broadcaster. There is one guy I can think of from a pure broadcast and knowledge of the sports standpoint who is just as good, and that was Curt Schilling. But that's
he was good. Yeah,
issue that we'll get. We're not going to get into another time. This show is about sports. We will keep it about sports. We're not going to go down that angle. That again, for more on the Patriots and the Saints, I guess for all on the Patriots and the Saints, because we kind of kept it off the radar there. Tune into the show tomorrow. That will be up tomorrow afternoon on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. You can follow us on SoundCloud as well and subscribe on iTunes. The 4 o'clock games, one of them just got done. That was the Redskins and the Rams. Redskins went on a late touchdown, 27-20. The Rams manhandled the Colts last week, and the Colts are bad, but the Rams really took care of them, and they beat a decent – they didn't beat, but stayed in it with a decent Washington team this week. I thought the Rams were going to be bad. I liked their defense. I thought their offense was going to be too much to overcome or too little to overcome, frankly, but are the Rams kind of sneaking into that you need to be worried about this team category?
No, I look at it as a West Coast game and against a team that's, I think, overrated. I've never been that high in the Redskins. I don't think they're all that great. I think they're a decent team. That's about their ceiling, though. They're decent. The Rams, better than I thought they would be. Obviously, a great win against the Colts last week, and they stayed in it with a team that is a playoff-caliber team, you could say. So definitely a good sign for the Rams. That's the big takeaway. They lost, but if you stay in it with a team that has proven that they're a playoff contender, a playoff-caliber team, great news. They have their quarterback, or they think they do. So if you're playing good football and you're winning and your talent's getting better, that's just awesome. And it seems like their young coach is working out for them so far.
Young Hoku missed another late kick for the Chargers, 19-17, in the Bolts' return to L.A. Jay Cutler didn't look terrible, and that surprised me, but he got a lot of help. Did you see the catch by Devontae Parker? I think it was in the third quarter. He totally moshed the corner. He went up over the back on an underthrown ball, snatched it back, picked up about 10 yards after the catch before he was pushed out of bounds. If Cutler does anything this year, it's because the wide receivers they have are outstanding. I have no idea why they were talking about trading Jarvis Landry. He was great today. Park was great today. I love Jay Ajayi. It makes you wonder, and Tannehill's not great, but he's a lot better than Cutler, what that team would be capable of this year if they had their quarterback or if they had a decent quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also you got to give credit to Adam Gase, who is kind of an offensive guru. It seems like someone who's worked with Cutler, knows his strengths, knows his weaknesses, and I think he put out a good game plan. Obviously, Jay Ajayi picked up where he left off and had a really good game today. He had something like 130 yards on the ground. And you got to give credit also to the Chargers, that late drive. They set their kicker up for a 44-yard field goal. You should make that when you're dead center. And Phillip Rivers had a couple good throws in that last drive and kind of showed some cojones there. Still not super high on the Dolphins. I think we know what we're going to get out of them. They'll probably be the second team in the AFC East. Not saying much. But, yeah, Jay Cutler did fine. I think he did exactly what you want him to do and exactly, you know, the ceiling of what you'd expect him to do.
They technically are winning the AFC East. They're half a game ahead because, remember, they had the week one bye because of the hurricane. And what was it, the Chargers last year? I think it was seven games. They had seven games where they were winning in the fourth quarter and ended up losing. They're just that. They're the anti-Lions. The Lions are losing always late, and they come back and win, and the Chargers are the opposite. In the black hole, Raiders 45, Jets 20. I saw Jets fans on Twitter at the beginning of the season saying they weren't going to complain. They knew what it was, and guess what? Week two, they're complaining. I'm not surprised. Me and you know some of these people. I think if they're listening, they know who I'm talking about. But honestly, I don't blame them. They were in it, and you had I think it was Jalen Marshall. Somebody dropped an easily fielded punt, and it was over. Yeah. This is Jets are a train wreck.
They are. I mean, they're a horrible team. Although Josh McCown did all right, you know, I didn't think he played that bad. I think he's what you need out of that team. He's obviously better than Christian Hackenberg. I think everyone can agree on that. But also, I think that the Raiders, their defense is still kind of something to worry about. They're not that good. And they're not what they need to be. And that's probably the reason I'm excited for them not only to play the Chiefs, but also to play the Broncos. The Broncos right now are handing it to the Cowboys, it seems like. Trevor Siemian's playing out of his mind right now. What's the Raiders' defense going to do against Trevor Siemian and the Broncos? I thought I'd never say that, but that's going to be a problem. We know their offense is good. That's not the question. It's if their defense can hold up and you know, against teams that are high octane offenses or high octane defenses, will they be able to outscore them?
Well, if Michael Crabtree can play the way he did today, they will. He absolutely turned back the clock. Last 4 o'clock game that is final, Seahawks 12, Niners 9. Would you look at that? A late score after Marquise Goodwin, former Bill, dropped the game-winning touchdown halfway through the fourth quarter. He got the corner on the ground and an in-and-out ball hit him in the shoulder pads, and he let it go. I said last week, after the Green Bay-Seattle game in which Seattle struggled to score, I said, it looks like Green Bay has a defense. It may be Seattle doesn't have the offense we're all expecting. They traded Curse. Russell Wilson struggled in this game, 23 of 39. He was under 200 yards. Last week, people were already putting Seattle and Green Bay back in the NFC Championship game. I think now that we've seen it in context against the San Francisco team that does not have a great defense, they're building a great defense, but they don't have one. The 12s have something to worry about with their offense. Seattle has something to worry about in terms of moving the ball and getting points.
Yeah, I think so. But this is the Seattle Seahawks. I look at them as a very well-coached team and kind of like the Patriots in the regard that they can struggle like this early on in the season and then regain their composure and finish out strong. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. You know, this isn't a bad team. Their offensive line has had some struggles. But still, I think the Seahawks will pick it back up and be a playoff team and still be a contender by the end of the season. These past couple of weeks have not done them any favors, especially when you're losing at one point at home against the 49ers of all teams. Their offense needs some work done to it, but I think it's fixable. I think they'll get back to the point where they were, especially with that defense.
Here's a surprise. You mentioned the Cowboys. They had an hour-long lightning delay in Denver. They're just starting the fourth quarter now. Broncos up 35-17. The Cowboys did just score, and they have the ball again. So maybe they'll make a game of it. But are you surprised to see the Cowboys struggling, especially the way they contained the Giants last week? And what does this tell you about that Giants offense that Trevor Siemian has carved them up for 35 points when Eli Manning couldn't do jack?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Dallas defense is very good. I think they're pretty average. I think Trevor Siemian's having a really good game. He has a good wide receiving core, so and a good offensive line. So I look at this Broncos team. If your quarterback can find his targets, they're going to do fine. And I think Trevor Siemian can get the job done considering what they have on the defensive end and considering what we saw in 2015 with Peyton Manning's play. I've asked myself this, though. Like, how many times has this Cowboys team beat an elite defense? Like, I can't remember a game where they went up against an elite defense and actually did well offensively. I look back, and last year they played the Vikings, who have a really good defense. They beat them, but it was 17-15. I don't know if they're ready to, you know, beat a Seahawks-type team in the playoffs. And today's kind of proving that. I don't think they're a team that really stacks up against good defensive teams very well.
So that's what we've seen. As for what's ahead tonight, the Packers and the Falcons. I'm looking forward to this game. It was a shootout last year. Probably will be the same thing. Falcons opening up in that beautiful new stadium down in Atlanta. I was there a couple weeks ago for some college football. Rodgers, Ryan, bet the over. I'll be interesting to see what Green Bay can do, what this offense really looks like when they don't have to deal with the Seattle defense.
Yeah, it's going to be, as you said, it's going to be a shootout. You have two elite quarterbacks going up against each other. I think the Packers are going to come out on top personally. But I still think this Falcons offense will come out firing. And you talk about a Super Bowl hangover. They're still talented. And they're still going up against a Green Bay team that, as we saw today, the defense is probably not as good as we thought they were. You look at it, the Rams or the Seahawks just scored 12 points against the Niners. And last week, what did they score? 10 or something like that. So yeah. You look at that, this Green Bay defense probably isn't that great. They just played a really bad Seahawks offensive line. Today they're going to get carved up, as will the Falcons defense. So it's going to be a shootout tonight in Atlanta.
The opposite of what we saw last week on Sunday night with the Giants and the Cowboys. Giants in action on Monday night. They will be hosting the Detroit Lions. And look, it's one thing not to figure it out against that Cowboys defense. They got some good players. Sean Lee was a beast in that game. If they're not moving the ball against the Lions, and I've said this for years, but seriously, it's time to start looking beyond Eli Manning. The Lions' defense did not look great last week. I'm not saying the Giants need to win this game. They can lose in a close game and still okay. I understand. But if they can't move the ball against the Detroit effing Lions, there are major problems that can't just be fixed by Odell Beckham, as good as he is. I'm going to be watching Monday night with a lot of interest to see what's going on with the G-Men.
Yeah, you expect Eli Manning to, you know, do the job against a Lions caliber defense. If he doesn't tonight, I know they don't have a great offensive line. I know they're missing Odell, but if he doesn't do that tomorrow night, you're talking problems. You have a short window here. You have Brandon Marshall, you have Odell, you have a couple other weapons on that offensive end. If you can't get it done with the quarterback you have, I know he's a great playoff quarterback. I know he's clutch. You have to look elsewhere. He's 35 years old right now, right? So the window's closing and you got to get impatient. You have a good roster right now. You have talent on both sides of the ball. Eli might not be the answer at this point. The window might be closed.
All right. So that's the NFL recap from week two. Before we wrap it up, Leibowitz, any last words?
I think that the Chiefs are probably the real deal. I think they're a good team. I think we'll see them late in the playoffs, you know, later in the season. I know it's week two, but they're a talented team. And the way they finished last year, it seems like they picked up where they left off from last season. So Chiefs looking good. Seahawks will regather and get back to where they were. And the Cowboys, Redskins, somewhat overrated, in my opinion.
I'm just shocked. I'm worried Denver's for real again. I don't want the Patriots to have to go there in the playoffs. I really don't. I kind of can't believe what I see right now, but it looks like the Cowboys are driving, so maybe this one isn't over quite yet. All right, that's going to do us for us for analysis of the Patriots. We'll be talking Red Sox tomorrow, Triple G Canelo, college football. We really have it all tomorrow. Make sure you check us out, Calling It Podcast, at Calling It Podcast on Twitter. You can subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. The guests are TBD, but keep an eye out on Twitter for that. Until then, he's Alex Lebowitz. I'm Alex Barth. We will talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Calling It NFL Week 2 Roundup. Enjoy Sunday Night Football, everybody.